and welcome to Naspity Magazine podcast with me, Phil Aston. And on this episode, I'm absolutely delighted, super delighted to have with me Susie Quattro, someone who I've followed for many, many years, and I know many of you have as well. Well, Susie's just released a fantastic new album called Face to Face, which is a joint collaboration with KT Turnstall. And I think it's just entered the charts, hasn't it, Susie?
It has. It's BBC Radio 2 Album of the Week this week. So there's a track being played every day. And it's only been out since Friday. And I think it's just gone in. It's in the top 50 first few days out, which is great. And it's like in all the other charts, it's like 7 and 8 and 11 and all that kind of stuff. So yes, happy.
And saying the word happy, it's such a joyous album collectively. It is such an uplifting album and set of songs in the times that we live in at the moment. And the opening song, Shine a Light, which is just joyous. And I was trying to work out what it might be about, because it feels like grabbing life by the horns and diving into whatever dreams you've got. But it's also almost got like a spiritual aspect as well. What was the inspiration behind the opening song?
Well, every song that we wrote together was after a big discussion. That's just how we did it. We really went the distance. So this was about the fact that a few things. You shouldn't allow negativity in your life. If people don't want to support you, then they don't need to be there. So shine a light on me or let me be. We also talk about the fact that everybody, and it's very important for these times we're living in, everybody has a light. That's your journey. Whatever your light may be, go in and find it and switch it on and never let anybody switch it off. Very important. We talked about this all in this big discussion that led to this song. Fame is a funny animal, and always people that know you, then you've made it, and they're looking at you to see if you've changed. And the truth of the matter is, you haven't changed. They have. How they treat you. It's funny. So this became the song, and it's a very important message. And people are relating to it. When I hear that song, I cry every time. Just the opening lines, you know, opportunity knocked on my door. I chose to let it in. I picked my backbone off the floor because I had to fight to win. And now this movie can begin. That's my life. That's my whole life.
I mean, it's really interesting you say that, because when I heard it for the first time and Sue, my wife, heard it for the first time, both of us, our eyes welled up. Even without really understanding what it was about, just the feel of it. I think there's a...
That's incredible. It makes me feel so good because I cry, but it's a personal thing. But you said that. I went to the shops to get some stamps or something, and the girl that served me, she said, I heard your record Shine a Light today, and I cried. So it's making people cry.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
In a very positive way.
Yes, in a positive way, it speaks to them.
I think it just brings you into the moment. It's not the kind, you might have it on in the background to start with, and then it just draws you in. And I think it's any song that has the word light in it. And I think Shine a Light, it just makes you want to be with it, which is great in today's world where music can almost sometimes be like a background activity. It's lovely to open an album with a song that makes you sit down and with a cup of tea and just really start a journey. And that journey continues.
Have you seen the video of it?
Yeah, I have. Oh, it's a great video.
It really captured us, that video, the relationship we have, you know?
Yeah. So how did the album, you know, kind of like the seeds of the album come together? What was it what you saw in each other to work?
We had run into each other very briefly at a big Elvis extravaganza that we both did in Hyde Park. I played with the TCB band. She had a slot. We just met up in the dressing room. And then the next thing that happened was I was a fan, and I'd said for years I would like to work with her. People always say, who would you like to work with? And she was one of the names I used to say. And I didn't know she was a fan of mine until I watched the rough cut of my documentary, Susie Q, which came out at the end of 2019. And there she was. And I kind of went, oh. So the guy that did the footage followed me my whole career, follows her too. He said, why don't I engineer a meeting? So he gave her my contact. She contacted me. She said, come down to London. I'm at a studio. I'll have a little lunch. I said, okay, suits me. So we talked, and she was, she broke the ice by saying, I have a confession to make. I said, yeah. She said, all the way through my career, whenever I've got a decision to make, I always say, what would Susie do? And I went, oh, how sweet. That was really sweet of her. And then she said also, I thought I coined it by saying, I'm not a female musician, I'm just a musician. I said, She said, I know. I read some old interviews. But then she said, I want to move out of my comfort zone. And I want to send you a riff. Would you like to write a track with me? I said, sure, I would have always wanted to write with you. So she sent me Overload, just the riff.
Yeah.
Just further down in the album. And I got my bass out, got my lyric pad out, and started to, and I sent her back over that track what I had done. So she contacted me and she said, you finished it. I said, no, I didn't finish it. I sent it back. But she said, no, you finished it and it's great. I went, okay. I didn't mean to. I was giving her my feedback on. So then I sent her Good Kinda Hot, because we're still in this, she wants to move out of her comfort zone thing. And so that I didn't finish it. I said, I've left the verse. And I did. I left the verse. So then we realized something's going on. Something's going on here. Okay. So we have the two remote tracks written. And I said, look, you know what? Why don't you come down to me and stay overnight for a few days? We'll go in my front room where I create and we'll see what we got. So that's what she did. Both of us sitting barefoot on the carpet, on the floor, you know, bass, guitar, all the songwriting paraphernalia. And we started to talk. I always remember because the first song we wrote sitting in the same room was Truth Is My Weapon. And she started it off. She said to me, what's the biggest lesson you learned from childhood? I thought, oh, so that's an easy one for me. I said, I was at a pajama party. About 10, 11 years old, all girls, of course, nobody was sleeping, and you're up all night. And I decided to play a game to have some fun. So I said, let's play the truth game. Fun. I'll say something to you. And it got so ugly. It got ugly. It turned nasty. I said, what a shock. The truth can turn into a nasty game. So we came up with Truth Is My Weapon. But truth should always be truth, and it should be nothing but that. It shouldn't turn to that, but it did. But it taught me a lesson. Big lesson. So my son came running down, who produced the album, Richard Tuckey. He came running down from the kitchen. He just happened to be over. And he was making himself a coffee or something. He came running, very long house. He came running down. He ran into the front room and he said, what was that? And I said, it's the first song we've written together. He went, oh my God, that was the first song you've written together? Wow. So bang, we were off and running.
I mean, the track you just mentioned, Overload, which is like, it's like a blues rock boogie, isn't it? I love it. It's a bit like, it reminds me of Cat's Eyes from Quattro in a way.
Yeah, it has that feel. Got that feel to it, yeah.
And that kind of Depeche Mode, Personal Jesus kind of vibe as well.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
It's a great track, and I love the way it kind of races towards the end as well. But the other one you mentioned, that you said you wrote by... remote, was Good Kinda Hot, which is in typical Susie in a way. It's the raunchy kind of rock shuffle.
She did it.
And
she
it's
did it. And in fact, I've got a great story about that.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorite stories. We were recording the vocal for that. So she's in her booth.
Yeah.
And we were at Rack Records to do that in the booths. And I did that scream at the end. Like I love to scream, you know, that's me.
She stopped
singing. So we stopped the session. She just stopped and she went, Susie, right in the middle of a vocal, we're both singing. I said, what? She said, how many screams do you think you do a year? I went, so the session stopped till we worked out the number. Very important, you know.
Very important, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Very artistic, you know.
Yeah. But it's a great track, and again, it's got some really atmospheric guitar in it as well. Who's the guitarist on the album?
Well, KT plays most of the guitars, but Richard my son added bits of electric where he thought it was necessary. So I don't know which bit you're talking about, but she plays guitar, I play bass all the way through. But wow, there are bits and pieces. And he did all that as he was producing. And he didn't put anything on there that didn't belong. He was really careful.
Oh, I would definitely say, I mean, some great lead guitar work on it, but it does, as you say, fits in with the song. It doesn't overpower anything. It's born within the song, I suppose. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know, but not every producer can do that. Some of them do carry it away, but he really dove into the album and he really did treat it with kid gloves, I have to say.
I also love the second track in Face to Face, which is the title track. I love the piano and the very distant guitar in the production. And I love the line, is it two egos in the night addicted to the light?
Nice.
Yeah. I love that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice. That's actually possibly my favorite track on the album because, I mean, the title was written for a long time. I had written down Face to Face as soon as we started. And she said, why? I said, because that's what we do. We are like this, you know? And when we got towards the ending of writing and we knew that we were nearly done with the album, that's how many we needed, and we were ready to stop. And I said to her, we have to write the title, KT. We have to write a title track. She said, okay. So we wrote it about us. So we had done our journey. We had become emotionally naked, you know, and not always easy. You know, sometimes she'd go somewhere, I'm going, or I'd go somewhere, she's going, wait a minute, you know. But she said to me, she said in an interview recently that, and she's right, I am in the fire. That's me. If there's a fire there, I go through it and I let it burn me and I go out the other side. She observes the fire. So what we gave to each other, this is all in Face to Face. I pulled her into the fire, showed her what it felt like to burn and really go into it. And don't shy away. Don't third person your story. Make it personal. And she pulled me out of the fire and showed me I didn't have to burn all the time. So we shared these. She told me that I'm jumping out of sequence here, but If I Come Home was like that. She did not want to go there. We were having it. We were just discussing demons of your childhood, and everybody has some, you know, of things that happen that you can never forget. Maybe your mother hurt you, your dad hurt you, your sisters hurt, whatever. We all have demons. And you have to come to terms with them as you grow up. And she was telling me some of her deepest and darkest, and I was telling her some of mine. And I said, we got to write this song. And she went, and she got up and left the room. But she came back. She came back and sat on the carpet, and we wrote the song. And you can hear it when you listen to If I Come Home, you can hear the pain in that. And when we were done, one of my favorite KT moments, she said, she went, we put it on the tape recorder. And she went, I said, what's the matter? She said, I love the song. I hate that you made me write it with you. I said, good. But now she says, was one of the best things she ever did because it released it. She was holding that in and it released it. So she's now learned from me that it can be very useful to put your demons right out there where you can see them. They don't look so threatening then, you know?
I think it's a beautiful song because, I mean, it's very interesting hearing what you say, what was going on when you were writing it, because it sounded to me like it's like broken love and trying to find your way back home. I love the vocals. I love the build-up and I love that kind of percussion, that electronic percussion every so often. But I think the vulnerability in songs like this also, I think, translates to the audience who are listening, because your audience has grown with you, both of you. And I think that vulnerability, probably the music, it almost is like a healing process for the people who are listening, as well as yourselves.
That's what we hoped. They were such a journey for the two of us. And everybody I've talked to, exactly what we wished for this album, that our journey together is universal, reaches out and touches other people. You know, you should don't hold it in. I don't believe in holding it in. Never have. If you don't want the answer to a question, don't ask me, because I will tell you. I'm very open and I'm also too vulnerable. And she kept saying that to me. She said, you do hurt too easy. I said, okay, but I can't change it. She said, no, you can't change it, but you can change your own reaction to it. So see, we went to all these areas, you know, we found we were very similar. We are cut from the same cloth, slightly different areas. But as artists, we respect each other. That was apparent right from the start. We like each other. We like each other's styles. Nobody tried to drive. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. But we weren't passengers either. Nobody tried to drive. We didn't push any particular sound or any particular, we didn't do any of this. We just let the discussion, and as you're talking, you're all the time, your antenna's up and you're, you know, she'd say something and I'd say something, you know, and then all of a sudden you'd pick up your instruments because the song would present itself and it had to be written.
Fantastic. And Scars, which is just a couple of tracks before the one we've just mentioned, this is like a kind of funk, like nice funky feel to this one. But it's another song about vulnerabilities, isn't it? And accepting life's journey.
Yeah, it says you don't get through life without any scars. No matter how tough you might think you are. How can you say it better than that? You are going to get scars, but you have to accept that these are all, you know, when you're hurt, it's a lesson you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn it. Pain is always the best architect. Oh, who said that? Me.
But it's true, isn't it? Because if you, I think that's what I like about the vulnerability in the lyrics of this album, is that you can't experience love unless you accept you're going to experience pain. And if you close yourself off from one, you'll close yourself off from the other.
Absolutely correct. And one of my other mantras that I always live by, because I always believe in openness. I always have, I always will. If you don't speak your truth to somebody, right, you deny them the chance to speak their truth to you.
Yes.
It's a good mantra to live by.
Yes. Yeah, excellent. The next one is very different, Damage, which is like a country blues. I love the violin on this one. Is it about the music business at all?
It's about, believe it or not, the big picture we talked about on that. It was about the big guy.
The big guy, God made man, but she was only joking, that kind of thing.
Right up there, and he gives you a contract to sign, and you're going to have to pay the damage at the end of the day. You just are. You're just going to have to pay. And we talked about it. My God, so you get a contract, and we just discussed how this could work. God comes down, gives you a contract, sign on the dotted line. that's why I say when God made man, she was only joking. I mean, it's a hilarious line. And Richard, the other day we were playing this at a friend's house, and we were going through each track like this, and Richard is very humble. He's just very humble guy. Doesn't take credit for anything, but he peeked his head out the door where he was making something to drink. And he went, I fought KT and Mom on this and I won. I said, what did you fight? He said, neither of you wanted a fiddle on it. And I won. And I said, well, it's genius. He said, yes. He said, I fought you both. Because you both went, And he did it. And brilliant.
It really works.
Yeah, it really works. Yeah, he really heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And then Illusion. I love the way this starts. It's so gentle. You're both singing together on this one, aren't you, when it starts, which is beautiful. Is this, again, a toxic relationship type song?
It is. This is KT's favorite. And also my husband, I have to say that too. He just says, he wrote her, he was complimenting me on the album the other day, and he was saying about this song. And I put him in touch with KT to tell her, because they've met, obviously. And he said, you write a song like this once in a lifetime. And KT feels the same way about it. It has got something, hasn't it? It's quite beautiful. Yeah. It's illusion. It's, you know, there's always that question. Was the love an illusion? Was it a delusion? Was it real? We were talking about, like, when the love is gone, when it's over, did you leave something with them? Or did they take something from you? Two different things. You see, this is how deep we go when we talk.
Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah, that is. And I've asked that question before with people, and that's a hard one to answer.
So when you're writing together like this, you're dipping into each other's memories and stories, and then bringing it together to be like one voice.
Yes.
This must have been quite an adventure in itself in your songwriting for both of you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've written with other people before, but not somebody like KT, who has had her own success, and she's a wonderful writer. And we came together as artists and we both respected each other. So it was very exciting, inspirational. I think she said the same about we inspired each other. you know, just wonderful experience. And the company have an option for a second album. So my son kept saying as he was producing it, if you guys can write this, you know, you have to do another one. He said, it's just stupid not to. She's not against it. I'm not against it. So we probably will. But what we didn't know, and I asked her the other day at BBC Breakfast, we had a few minutes alone. I said, I've done about 300 interviews. I said, every single person I've talked to, including my husband, they've all said the blend of the voices. Now, be honest with me, Katie. I said, did you know we were blending when we were doing it? She went, no. I said, me neither. I didn't even think about it. And I think if we had known, it would have sounded manufactured. We had no idea. So that's excellent. That we, my husband said that when he heard the album at first, he said, you couldn't have known that this was going to happen. I said, I didn't know it. I didn't even know. I don't even know it now. He said, well, your blend is beautiful. He compares it to the, I had a review the other day and for the album, and it said, there's vocal harmonies and blending on this album that you only hear in Siblings. Wow. But we had no idea. We didn't. We just were singing, you know.
I've got to say that's so true.
She naturally, we both did kind of naturally lean towards each other to be respectful to the other artists. So I'm leaning a little towards her. She's leaning a little towards me. And as she put it, we created something new. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. It's new. You can't say it's like anything else, can you?
No, but equally, it sounds part of both of your stories and catalogues. I spent before talking to you today, I've been listening to obviously The Rock Box, which is everyone should have, yeah, and some of your 80s and 90s albums. And this just sits right in front of those as the natural place for you to go. And the same for Katie. It's just sits in front of where she is.
I guess, you know, that I believe everything happens when it should and for a reason. Yeah. This was when we were supposed to meet at this stages of our lives and our careers. And we were supposed to get together and we were supposed to become friends and we were supposed to write this album. It was meant to be.
And just touching back what your husband said about the dual vocals, because I mean, obviously On Illusion is a great example. And so was the other one we've already mentioned, Truth as a Weapon, where you both sing. But I mean, there's unison between your voices on all the tracks, but these two in particular, it just feels like two sisters singing.
Wow. How did that happen? Yeah. it's part of the magic that this album has created. So, and good that it's all organic and not manufactured and just natural, a natural process, you know?
Yeah, it sounds very live. And then the last track, Ladies Room, has got almost like a 60s feel to it.
Yes, we love that one. It makes it's the most fun song on the album. We were discussing how everything actually does happen in the ladies' room. You know, you always go there in numbers, don't you? And you got like a couple of bitchy ones putting their makeup on. You got always got graffiti on the whatever girl is out of favor. She's on the wall saying, "Call this number." You know, and you think your secrets are safe. We talked it all through. So you go in, and then you go out, and then you work the room. And you come back and you go out and work the room again. It's excellent. Our neurosis celebrated in the ladies' room. Good line. Good line. Who cares if Mary's a whore?
did you write lyrically? Did you both write the lyrics together, or was on all?
No, we wrote together. I mean, I might do a line. She might do a line. But basically, we're talking, and as we're talking, that song is being written. I'm saying something. She said it's all coming into the song. But there was one that you just brought up. When she came over to me, we finished Good Kind of Hot. I said, okay, no, I'm not finishing this one like I did the other. You want you to do the verse. So we were sitting there on the floor and I said, take me to the edge of pleasure. And I went, ooh, you know, patting myself on the back. And she went, this thing is too big to measure. And I went, ooh. So we went bang, bang. And I said, KT, I have to be honest with you. I'm quick. I have a quick mind. And I don't have to wait for you to catch up. She said, no, you don't. So, you know, sometimes it was challenging with us. Yes, and it should be. But just great. And we're good friends.
I think that also the way that you said you've written the lyrics together, but it doesn't sound like they're being written by different people, it sounds like one voice. It sounds like, well, the whole thing. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Sometimes when people do a joint connection, it feels disconnected.
Yeah, yeah, we are connected. That's the unity. Even the way my bass lines weave between her guitar, it's just so natural.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which one is it? No, face to face. I used to fretless on that. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Did you have fun sequencing the album? Because obviously you wrote them at different times. I mean, because the way it is sequenced, you know, starting as it does and ending as it does, it's just a perfect journey.
Well, once it was, yes, it is. It is a perfect journey. Once all the tracks were produced and mixed, then we all had to do what Richard wouldn't choose the order. He doesn't like to do that. I do. Because I've had many, many years, 59 years now, of making a set list. And I know how the graph should go. So I kind of made my list. KT made hers. A lot of people put their input in, and the list came out of that. So it was either right or wrong. When you're ready, I'm very, like I said, one of my expertise is I can pick a list. So I can't remember if anything got changed, but it's perfect. The moods.
It just
ends with a laugh, because everything ends with a laugh. You know?
No, it's really good. And what was I going to say? Because the way that the album made me feel after I finished playing it again this morning, it is like it's very uplifting. It's perfect for the times that we live in, and I always firmly believe that music almost is like a healing thing. Yes. It's like unique to the human experience, isn't it?
And
the way that some of the songs, what they're about, they're truthful, open, honest. I think these songs are going to resonate with a lot of people and really help them literally see the light.
Yeah, yes, that's what I'm hoping. When you write stuff like this, your dream as an artist, as the creator, because they're like babies, you know, you release them into the world, you labor over them and release them. And the greatest thing that can happen is that they touch people. And then as an artist, that's the creative cycle complete, that you said something, it's heard, it's understood, it touches somebody. Wonderfully. That's emotional applause.
And I mean, you've had a career that spans so many decades, and it might have been a little bit quieter in some parts of the 80s and 90s, but you've just carried on, as you said, having that light inside you. And now you're on like almost like a renaissance of your music and everything. I was thinking Mick Jagger's just turned 80 and he's an inspiration. I mean, did you think going back just a few decades that he would be where you are now, still producing music and people enjoying it, and you're about to go on tour as well?
Yes, I did. I got in this business for a lifetime, and I knew it. I found my path, and I wasn't never going to sway from it. I was put on this earth to create, communicate, and entertain. I felt this from a very, very young child. And I always say, you know, the audience are going to have to retire me, because I love what I do. Yeah, I am going on tour. I have to mention that, actually.
Yes, it starts in November, doesn't it?
Yeah, 50 years of Can the Can being number one. I'll read the dates for you because I got them right here.
That's okay.
November the 12th, Cardiff, St. David's Hall. 13th, Brighton Dome. 15th, London Palladium. 16th, Wolverhampton, the Halls of the Civic. And 18th, Bridgewater Hall. So five big shows to celebrate the 50-year landmark.
Wow. And are you dipping in and out of your entire career on that tour? And the set list?
I do, since about 2015, my dream show that I've always been building towards my whole career, where I do a 2.5-hour solo show at the interval, and you get music from 1973 up until 2023. And you get everything in between. I play the piano. I play the drums.
Wow.
I do a ballad at the end of the show. I don't want to give it away.
That's okay.
I play a song by myself at the piano that I wrote. I do a 5.5-minute long bass solo, which is an endurance test. I go up and do the drums. So it's my dream show, you know, where I can actually go up there and show you the whole rainbow.
I'd like to just mention one song from your past that I love. We'd never made one of the albums. It's on the box set, and it's called Angel Flight.
And it's the business, isn't it?
It is the business. And I wonder whether if it had been on the album, I think, as you said in the box set, instead of two of the covers, would it have made you more of an album artist than kind of hit singles?
Yes, I think they made a mistake. You know, everything's done at the time.
Yeah.
There was, you know, the people were over from the German record company, and Mickey was playing him stuff we were doing on for this album, for the second album. And Angel Flight came out, and they all went, like, that's not Susie Quattro. And so Mickey got nervous and didn't put it on. I know he should have done. But everything happens for a reason, like I said. And it's found its place now, and people comment like you did. So it's still be heard. But it would have changed me from a more of a singles artist to more of an album. People would have looked at me differently.
I think so. But obviously, it's interesting that Mickey kind of put it to one side, but obviously you were given all the tools to give it as much oomph as possible with all the strings and everything. It's such a massive production. So it doesn't sound like an outtake. It sounds just as beautiful now as it must have done to your ears when you were playing it back at the first time.
Didn't like that decision. It is beautiful. When I hear it now, I do say, I guess it was, that's Richard's dad, Lenny, and I think that was probably our best composition.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So you've got the tour coming up, the album's out, it's in the charts, it's absolutely wonderful. It's an uplifting piece of book. And it's important that people listen to it from the beginning to the end. This isn't the kind of thing you're going to play, stream one track and think, yeah, I think I've worked this out. It's not like that at all.
You gotta dive in. I can recommend that you dive in. With your heart open.
Totally. Yes, totally. Well, if people want to know more about you and the tour, where they can buy tickets, I guess best place to go is susiequattro.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. You know, I'm on all the sites. I've got official Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm every your normal stops. I'm on there.
Well, thank you so much, Susie, for your time today. It's been absolutely wonderful talking to you. And I really do hope you do another follow-up album to Face to Face, because this, I think, is just a beautiful album. I think both of you have created something that is going to bring joy to people for many, many years. It's certainly one of my favorite albums so far of 2023.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, take care, and hopefully we'll catch up in the future. So thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, how fantastic was that? A special thank you to my guest, Susie Quattro, for joining me today and talking about her new album with Katie Tunstall, which is just beautiful. It's called Face to Face. It's out now. Just give it a listen. It's just so positive and joyous. It really is a wonderful album. Check out her website for all her latest gigs. The UK tour starts in November at susiequattro.com. And thank you for being here for the Now Spinning Magazine podcast itself. We're available on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Google, Apple, everywhere. And don't forget the YouTube channel, of course, and nowspinning.co.uk, the website. There's a private Facebook group. We're on Instagram. We're on X. We're everywhere. Become a patron, become a YouTube member, and get to see all of our episodes, whether it's a podcast or music reviews, ahead of general release. It's great to have you here. Remember, music is the healer and the doctor. So keep spinning those discs, and I shall see you on my next episode.